Good morning, everybody. Shrill Foster coming at you live from my house. Introduction to Talmud 101 through Gulf Meadows Synagogue, School of Jewish Studies, and, of course, sheerenjoyment.com. Thank you, Jake and Mitch, for all you do for us at Gulf Meadows Synagogue. Welcome aboard. We do this class three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10:30. We're studying Tinus. We're on 2B. And let's get into it. I mean, it's Talmud. Let's try and figure it all out. We are smack in the middle of the important sugya of trying to figure out the rabbi's approach to when we begin saying that all-important prayer, Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem. When do we begin saying that? That's the question. It is an addition to the Amidah, to the standing silent prayer that we say Monday afternoons and evenings, every morning, afternoon, evening. And so the question becomes, when should we start saying that? So you'll remember that last time we met on Monday, we were introduced to a brisa that told us that Rabbi Yozer felt that you're supposed to start saying this prayer on the first day of Sukkot. Okay, remember there was an informational question. When does he think he should start saying it? And the question is, does he derive it from Lulav, the mitzvah of Lulav? Or does he derive it from the water libation service, from the Nisach HaMayim, interesting ritual that was done back in the day, celebrating the giving of water? If you recall, we said over a footnote about Nisach HaMayim in the Gemara in Sukkah, teaches us that on each of the 7 days of Sukkot, water was ceremoniously poured on the altar in the temple. And the purpose was to beg God for a favorable judgment concerning the rainfall for the coming year. And so they would pour that every single day, each of the 7 days of Sukkot. That'd be basically a begging and a pleading for God to give us rain. It's possible, therefore, says the footnote, that Rabbi Elazar designated the first day of Sukkot as the day for beginning the recital of Mashiv HaRuach, because that's the day when the water libation service first begins. So is it because of that, or is it because that's the first time that we take up the four species in our hands, Lulav, Esrig, Hadassim, Aravos? And the fact is that all four species are vegetation, and that bespeaks a begging and pleading for God to send us rain, because we're holding in our hands four different kinds of vegetation, and we're showing God that, you know, we can't take this in our hands and serve you with it if you don't send us the rain. So please send rain. So the question is, which one of those is the reason for Rabbi Elazar saying, start Mashiv HaRuach, that particular declaration of fact, God makes the wind blow, it makes the rain fall, that he should start, we should all start on day one of Sukkot. Is it because of Lulav, or is it because of the Nisach HaMayim pouring of the water, a ritual? Okay, so there was a Tashma, Rabbi Abahu said, it can only be from the mitzvah of Lulav. And then we're introduced to a brisa. And the brisa says, the Rabbi Elazar says, from the time of Lulav is taken, that's when you start saying Mashiv HaRuach. Okay? So it seems that we're going down the path of Lulav. And it's because the four species are begging God to issue a favorable judgment concerning water. And that's why we do it on the day one. So, of course, Rabbi Yeshua, you remember a little brief review for us. Rabbi Yeshua said no. But the fact is that it seems like you're asking for rain when you say that declaration. And we shouldn't be asking for rain on day one of the festival, because we want to be able to sit in the sukkah. And the water, you know, rain coming down on sukkahs is a sign of a curse, because it shows, as Rashi famously points out, it's like a servant approaching the master with a wine glass. And the master takes the wine glass and pours it out. He's not interested in the service. He doesn't want the wine. So that's kind of how we look at it. If God sends rain on day one of Sukkot, we can't sit in the sukkah. It's like he doesn't want us to do the service of yeshiva sukkah, sitting in the sukkah, living in the sukkah. So who in the world would ever be asking for rain on day one? And that's what Rabbi Yeshua says to his colleague. Why would you be asking for rain? It's a sign of a curse. Won't be able to sit in the sukkah if we get the rain that you seem to be asking for. Answers from the outside, calm down. I'm not actually asking for rain when I say that declaration of fact. I'm simply stating a declaration of fact that God makes the wind blow. He makes the rain fall. I'm not asking for rain. That comes later in the Amidah. That's later. So I only ask for it in the appropriate times. I'm simply making a declaration that God makes the wind blow and makes the rain fall. And I can do that even on day one of Sukkot, because I'm not asking for rain on Sukkot. I'm simply praising God for having the divine power of making it rain. So where's the harm in that? And besides, he said, what's wrong with it? Don't we say Tchias Tamesim three times a day? Do you think that we're seeing Tchias Tamesim every single minute? I mean, we say that around the clock, year in and year out, day in and day out. Three times a day we say that. Now, when was the last time there was resurrection of the dead? But it is God's power. We've seen he did that in the past through Elijah and Elisha. We've seen the resurrection of the dead in the Torah. So the Almighty has that prayer. He's got that power. He's got the power to give childbirth. He's got the power to give rain. He's got the power of Tchias HaMesim. The fact is that we say Tchias HaMesim three times a day. Maybe we shouldn't do that because, I mean, after all, when was the last time you saw that happen? So Rabbi Lezer says, that's why I'm allowed to say Mashiv Rachamori Degeshe, because I'm simply declaring the power of God. I'm not asking for rain. I'm simply saying that God gives rain. If you're able to say God resurrects the dead, and tell me when the last time you saw that happen, so and yet you say it, we all say it three times a day. So if you can do that, you can do this. That's his rationale as far as putting in Mashiv Rach in day one. He's not asking for rain on day one, he says. I'm simply making a statement of fact. Later on, in a few minutes, we're going to see the Talmud say, yeah, that was a good argument. Oh, he spoke good against Rabbi Yeshua. How would Rabbi Yeshua respond to that? Well, we'll get there in a moment. Now, fresh material. We just did a brief review, and now we move on. Now we're going to be introduced to Rebbe. That's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and he's going to weigh in as well. Okay, Rabbi Elezer feels you should say Mashiv Rach around the year. Theoretically, anyway, because after all, it's simply saying a power, declaring a power of God. And yet we don't actually say Mashiv Rach year-round. Isn't that curious? We don't follow Rabbi Eliezer. Let's see what Rebbe says. Rebbe Omer, and we are kind of, I don't know, two-thirds of the way down the page. If you're at Tysus, look for the word Ha'over, and then drop down two, three lines. You'll see Rebbe Omer. Okay, two-thirds of the way down on the page 2b. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says as follows, Omer Ani, I say this, Misha Shemafsik Lasha'ela Kach Mafsik Laskara. Misha, from the time, Shemafsik, that one stops, that one discontinues, Lasha'ela, the request for rain, and when does one stop requesting rain in the Jewish calendar? When do we stop asking for active rain? Well, follow me. Sometime on Sukkot, we make the prayer for rain and we initiate the rainy season. Okay, again, we're talking about Israel over here. We're talking about Ireland or the U.S. We're talking about Israel. In Israel, somewhere, we're going to have to figure out what day. That's what this whole the first chapter is about, it seems. When do we begin making this declaration? When do we begin, you know, asking for rain? Truth of the matter is, one thing at a time. When do we say, Mashiv Rach Mori Degeshe? When do we make that declaration that God brings the rain? So Rabbi Lezer says on day one, we're going to see Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seira on day two, bless our Rabbi Akiva on day six. We have different opinions. But the question is not, let me phrase it like this. It is the case that around the Sukkot holiday is when we begin saying Mashiv Rach. On what particular day, that we have to figure out. But it's during the holiday of Sukkot or Shmini Atzeres, and then begins the rainy season in Israel in earnest. And then we're praying for rain, hoping that God will send rain, because the land of Israel needs the rain during the rainy season. We need all the water we can get, because there'll be no water during the summer months. The other 6 months are hot. If you've been to Israel, you know you've got 6 months of heat and 6 months of rain. It could be very cold in certain areas. Yerushalayim gets very cold in the what I call the winter and what's called the rainy season in Israel. But there's no denying that we ask for rain to begin during the holiday, somewhere along the holiday in Sukkot, and then we are hoping and praying that the rain falls during the next 6 months, the rainy season in Israel. And when does it stop? Pesach. That's when we ask for the Almighty to no longer send the rain, because the land doesn't need the rain at that point. I guess it just needs sunshine, nonstop sunshine to grow the crops. I'm not a farmer by any means, but people in Israel have figured this out. That's why there are bumper crops of food around the clock. I don't know how it's done. You have 6 months of rain and 6 months of sun. And there's no rain during the sunny season, during the summers. There's no rain coming down. I never saw it. I never saw rain during the six. I don't remember. But during the rainy season, man, it's cold and it's rainy and sometimes snowy. Rare, but still. It's Pesach that we stop asking for rain in the land of Israel. Says Rebbe, Omer Ani, I say, from the time that one discontinues the request for rain, and that's Pesach time, Kach Mafsik Lahaskara, so too one must discontinue the mentioning of Mashiva Ruach Umarid HaGeshem. If you're going to discontinue asking for rain, then you have to also simultaneously stop mentioning the rain. For Rebbe, it's one or the other. For Rebbe, if you're going to say Mashiva Ruach, if you're going to make this declaration of fact that God sends rain, that's when you ask for rain. He bundles them together, it seems. And for Rebbe, he says, if you're going to stop asking for rain around Pesach time, and that's exactly right, because that's when we pray for Tal, for dew, D-E-W. In other words, we ask the Almighty, please stop sending strong rain from here on in, Pesach time, for the next 6 months, because it's the summer season, and we'd like sunshine. But at the same time, please send dew, D-E-W, like Mountain Dew. Okay, send the Tal, the dew, on the land, because the land needs that little coating of water. Every single morning, it needs a little, otherwise it's going to get parched. The green grass is going to turn brown in the heat of the summer. So please continue to send a small amount of water. And that a small amount of water is dew, tal. So we pray for tal, dew, Pesach time, because that's now leading into the summer months, which we're in right now. Right now in Israel, it's scorchingly hot in certain places. But Hashem, in His great mercy, sends the dew upon the crops and upon the ground, the grass and the mountains, so that they don't turn brown from a complete lack of water. So God, in His great mercy, does that. We pray for it, and He responds in His infinite rachamim. But for Rebbe, everything's tied together. If you're going to make a declaration of fact that God sends rain, well, then that's the time you should be asking for rain also. And then 6 months later, when you stop asking for rain, that's, and then you start asking for dew, then that's when you also stop saying Mashiv HaRuach. You make the wind blow, you make the rain fall. They go together like ham and eggs, okay? If you're going to be praying for rain, okay, pray for rain and say Mashiv HaRuach. Make that declaration of fact. And then when you stop asking for rain, that's when you stop saying Mashiv HaRuach. You make the rain fall. For Rebbe, everything just is all tied up together. Circus, you make the declaration of fact. You ask for rain. Pesach, that's when you stop making the declaration of fact. That's when you stop asking for rain. Footnote, according to Rebbe, one should not recite Morid HaGeshem. You make the rain fall in the summertime, because that's not the proper time for rain. And similarly, one should not recite that phrase on Sukkot, for rain on Sukkot is a sign of God's displeasure. Okay, so for Rebbe, he's not bundling up completely. Maybe he'll separate out Mashiv HaRuach, maybe for a little bit later, maybe after the holiday. But all that, as Rebbe says, from the time that one stops the request for rain, Pesach time, that's when one discontinues the mentioning of Mashiv HaRuach. You make the rain fall. You should, and that's the reason why we do what we do, right? Have you noticed that when you pray, come the summer months, we're not saying Mashiach Moed Geshem. We're not making that declaration a fact. Why not? And according to Rabbi, you should. Because after all, God does send the rain whenever he feels like it. And that's all you're saying, a declaration of fact. Says Rebbe, wait a second, I don't want that mentioned, okay, during the summer season. Because even if it's merely a declaration of fact, I don't want that declaration of fact mentioned. Because, it sounds like a little bit of a prayer. And we don't want rain in the summer months. We just want dew falling on the crops and on the ground. Okay, so that's Rebbe. And the Bryce is going to continue with what would be a key, we're going to say, and three more opinions as to when you begin to say Mashiv Ruach. You make the wind blow, you make the rain fall. That little declaration of fact, when should we begin saying it? The Bryce continues, it gives us more rabbinical positions, and we already explored position number one, Rabbi Eliezer. Now we're going to soon explore in earnest position number two, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. But let's read the Brisa. Let's continue with the Brisa. Three more views on when you begin to say, Mashiv HaRuach, you make the wind blow. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer, he's of the opinion, Basheni Bachag Hu Maskir, that on the second day of the festival of Sukkot, you mention Mashiv HaRuach. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said day one, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, no, day two is when you should start saying Mashiv HaRuach. He has his reasons. We'll get there. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Bashishi Bachag Hu Maskir, on the sixth day of the festival of Sukkot, one begins saying Mashiv HaRuach. You make the wind blow. You make the rain fall. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says on day two. Rabbi Akiva says, oh no, on day six. And it's not quite Shmini Atzeres, right? It's towards the end of the festival. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that's when you say this declaration of the Gevurah Kishamim, of the strength of rain, that God has the great strength, the divine power to send rain. So Rabbi Akiva starts saying Mashiv HaRuach, that declaration of fact, begins saying it on day six of the holiday of Sukkot. Okay? And now the third opinion, that was a new opinion that we're seeing today. Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Yehuda, obviously a different Rabbi Yehuda than Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. And you have Rabbi, his name is also Yehuda. He's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, or known as Rabbi. Okay? So you have a lot of Yehudas running around here. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Yehuda ben Becerra, and plain old Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Joshua. And what does Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Joshua say? Ha'over lefnei ha'teva b'yom tov ha'achron shel chag, the chazan, the cantor, who goes before the ark, ha'over lefnei ha'teva, the one who passes before the ark, the Aron HaKodesh, right? B'yom tov ha'achron shel chag, on the last Yom Tov of the festival of Sukkot. And when we talk in those terms, on the last holiday of the Chag, and the Chag means Sukkot. So the last holiday, that's Shmini Atzeres. That is the ultimate last day of the whole holiday season over there. You have 7 days of Sukkot. And the eighth day is a standalone holiday. It really is a standalone holiday. I mean, we always like lump it together in our minds with Sukkot because it comes at the end of Sukkot. But in truth, it is its own standalone holiday where you don't pick up Lulav and Esrei. And as to sitting in the Sukkah, seems that we Litvaks follow the Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, which says that you do sit in the Sukkah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe Sfardim are not necessarily into that. And Hasidim, I got to ask them. Maybe they also don't. But whatever it is, Ashkenazi Lithuanians, for the overwhelming majority of us, we sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Now, Shmini Atzeres, by the way, in Israel, and Simchas Torah are rolled up into one big day. Okay, there's no second day of Shmini Atzeres. There's no Simchas Torah day one and day two. It's all one big day because they don't have a second day. They don't keep second day in Israel. We keep that in the diaspora. So in Israel, the last day of the holiday is Shmini Atzeret, that's true, and simultaneously what we call Simchas Torah. Over here in America and throughout the diaspora, we split into two different days, but not over in Israel. Continuing, the one who goes before the ark to lead the prayers, B'yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag, on the last Yom Tov of the festival, which is Shmini Atzeret, what does he do? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Joshua, Ha'achron Maskir, the latter one. There's a latter one and an earlier one. Who's the latter one? That's the Baal Musaf. Okay, Shachris comes first, and then Musaf comes second. So he's saying that the one who goes second, the latter one, that is the one who leads the Musaf service, Ha'achron Maskir, he mentions the declaration of fact. Okay, on Shmini Atzeres, according to Rabbi Yehuda, B'Shem Rabbi Yoshua, the cantor who is leading the services on Shmini Atzeres in the morning at Musaf time, right? He's the later one as opposed to the earlier one. So the later one, that's when he says, he announces Marshivarach. He mentions the powers of rain, the declaration of fact. And indeed, there's a whole special prayer. And that's what he does around Musaf time, not earlier. Harishon Einu Maskir. The first one, that is who leads the Shachar service, he does not mention this declaration of fact about God sending the rain. Nothing, there's no mention of it at Shachar's. Only the prayer only kicks in at Musaf time, according to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, what about Pesach time? We already saw a little bit about Pesach. What about Pesach? When do we say the prayer of Tal, of you? When do we make that prayer? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua, B'yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, HaRishon Maskir, the first one who leads the davening, the Shacharis service, that's when he mentions the power of rain, okay? He still mentions it over there, but after that, you're not going to see it very much. HaAchron Eino Maskir. But then the latter one, this is Pesach time now, but the latter one, the Musaf man, the candle leading Musaf, he does not mention Mashiv HaRuach. Because by then, in the Shacharis prayer, we already began the official public prayer for dew, Tal, D-E-W, dew. So there'll be no more Mashiv HaRuach going forward on day one of Pesach, according to this opinion. We begin davening for dew, and we're no longer asking for strong rain, because it's Passover time, and that's going to initiate the summer season. We don't want any rain during that time. So if you're going to start praying for dew on Shacharis, the earlier prayer service, then that's going to carry the ball. And comes Musaf, there'll be no mention, privately or publicly, by the cantor, there'll be no mention of Mashiv HaRuach, this declaration of fact. We're going to stop saying it, because it seems like the earlier opinion, Rebbe, and over here as well, it seems that the rabbinic mind, the consensus seems to be forming, that it's true, it does sound like merely a declaration of fact that God sends the rain. And yet, even though you might want to argue with a straight face that it's merely a statement of fact, still it smacks of a prayer. It sounds like a prayer. That God, we're mentioning this for a reason. And the reason is because we need it. So even though Rabbi Eliezer with a straight face can tell you, I'm not asking for rain. I'm just saying that God's strong and he sends rain when he wants to. And you could do resurrection of dead prayer three times a day. Why can't you do this? And I'm going, okay, I mean, that does make some sense. But still, in the eyes of Rebbe and the eyes of B'Shem Rebbe Yoshua, it just sounds like they feel that that's more than just a statement of fact. That in truth, in their opinion, it seems to me, that we're praying for rain. And if you're going to say Mashiv HaRuach, then begin the prayer for rain. And if you're going to stop, then stop. Because it's like a prayer for rain. Even if you feel this is merely a declaration or a statement, it's more than that, in their opinion. It's like you are asking for rain. So when it's appropriate, say it. And when it's not appropriate, don't say it. It's appropriate on or around Sukkot time and going forward. And it's inappropriate to say that prayer beyond Passover, even starting from day one. You know, starting from day one of Pesach, we don't want strong rain anymore. We are asking God for dew, for tau, because now it has to initiate the sunny, warm, you know, summer season when the crops will grow in earnest, right? Whatever. So whatever's appropriate, that's when you either pray for it or you don't. And Mashiv Ruach is this seemingly this, you know, declaration, but it's a little bit more than that, according to these rabbis. Now we're going to mention what I said earlier about how impressive Rabbi Eliezer's argument was on a certain level, because when he brings in the resurrection of the dead thing, like, wow, I mean, that's very creative. That argument, like, almost like wins the day in my head. He makes a great point. We're always saying resurrection of the dead. You're the resurrector of the dead. You got the prayer, the power to resurrect the dead. So we say that three times a day, even if we don't see it all around us. But yet we still say it. So the listener says, if you're willing to say that, then say this. Say God gives the rain. Not praying for rain. Just merely saying that God's powerful. Glad you do that when you talk about resurrection. God's powerful. So that was pretty impressive. At least, I don't know about you, but I liked it. Says the Talmud, we like it also. Shapir, and look at that word, Shapir, from which you get the English name Shapiro, Shapira, Sapphire, like William Sapphire, a big writer of the New York Times back in the day. He was a thought leader on the New York Times. Bless you, William Sapphire. So that name that has come into the Jewish people, Shapiro, Shapira, and Sapphire, comes from this word Shapir. Well, good, beautiful. Shapir kamar, bless. Shapir kamar le Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Very well said, says the Talmud. Rabbi Eliezer replied, very well. Shapir, beautifully. Did he argue to Rabbi Yeshua? Here in the footnote, it should be permitted to mention rain, even at times inappropriate for rain. You know why? Just as the resurrection of the dead is mentioned in our prayers all year round, even though its time has not yet arrived. Yet we still say it. We hope for it. We look forward to it, anticipate it. Can't wait for it. Haven't seen it yet, but that doesn't stop us from saying it three times a day. Well, if that doesn't stop you from saying it three times a day, say this three times a day. God brings the rain. Not that I'm asking for it. I'm not. It's July. August. I don't want rain right now. I'm just saying that God's very powerful. God's powerful to resurrect the dead. God's powerful to send rain. You know what? It's a great winning argument, it would seem. But what's the response? What does Rabbi Yeshua say? He's got to be nodding his head going, I like it. Fair enough. It's good. But I don't agree with it. And why does he not agree with it? Here's his response. Amar lach Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua would answer you as follows, meaning answer Rabbi Eliezer. And here goes my Talmudical sing-song voice. Whenever I see the word Bishlama, I start singing. Bishlama, things make sense. Things are good. There is Shlama. There is Shalom. There is peace. It is good. It is settled. It makes sense. It's understandable. Whenever you see Bishlama, you know that there's going to be this comparison, if you will. Bishlama, things make sense regarding this because of that. So let's at least do it piece by piece. Bishlama tchias ameisim maskir. It does make sense that one, you know, our daily prayers make sense. It's understandable that one would mention resurrection of the dead throughout the year. Why? Why would we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we say God is powerful to resurrect the dead when it hasn't happened yet on a grand scale? And yeah, individually, you know, in the book of Kings, you see it. But still, I'm glad that happened, but that was 3,000 years ago in Israel, and I haven't seen it since. So why are we saying it? To the Yeshua, I'll tell you why. You know why it makes sense to say Tchias HaMesim, that God resurrects the dead? Why do we say that three times a day? You know why? To kuli yoma zimnehu. Because every day, is potentially the appropriate time for Tchias HaMeisim. It could happen any day. Elijah will come. He'll herald the Mashiach. I'm now looking into Mashiach ben Yosef. Where do we get that idea from? Oh my goodness, there is so much out there about Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. I mean, books and books have been written. This is not the, not the first impression of seeing this. It's plenty out there. I don't want to muddy the waters right now with, how this whole thing's going to go down at the end of the days, because I'm not sure. But certainly God says he's going to send Elijah, and eventually that's going to, according to the rabbinic mind, there'll be a Mashiach ben Yosef, and there'll be a Mashiach ben David. And so along the way, there will be Tchias HaMeisim. Somewhere out there, there'll be resurrection of the dead, to kule yom zimnehu, because every day is potentially its appropriate time. Care about that? Ela gishamim. But with respect, and even that could be, even that, like every day could be Tchias HaMeisim day. I mean, when Eliyahu comes and he heralds Mashiach, is going to come in a few days, does that mean that Elijah is going to be resurrecting the dead? I mean, every day is potentially Tchias HaMeisim day. Even that requires a little bit of critical thinking. Like, is that really, really true? I'm not even 100% certain that that is actually fact. That even at the start of the Geula, the ultimate redemption, where resurrection of the dead does happen, somewhere in this window, down the road, God willing, today, there'll be Geula. But when does resurrection of the dead happen? Today? When Elijah shows up? Well, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But I thought, I remember reading that it's going to happen, Chabad writes, like a little bit into the window, into the time frame of the redemption. So if that's true, so I'm not sure how to make sense out of this. To call it Yom HaZimnehu, because every day is potentially its appropriate time. Even in the window of redemption, it doesn't happen on day one or day two or day three of the redemptive process, the redemption period when Elijah shows up. I don't know if that happens immediately. I don't know. I don't think that it does. So I'm not sure how to understand that. I'm just saying we're allowed to have a question on this piece. And I'm going to make a note of that. I'm going to make a little note, because every day, I'm going to write that every day, okay, because every day is potentially its appropriate time. At all events, this is Rabbi Yoshua Rispahu. I'm a great authority like him. I'm not going to question, but I'm going to ask politely. I think I'm allowed to ask. I'm not going to do an attack question. I'll simply do an informational question. Like, could you please explain it? I mean, because I don't get it. Every single day is possibly a resurrection day. Anyway, we continue. Ela gishamim. So Yeshua says, listen, the reason why we say resurrection of the dead three times a day in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Amidah, is because any day could be resurrection day. Ela gishamim. But regarding rain, kol emas ta'asyon zimnayu hi. You really think that whenever it falls, that's the appropriate time? Not true. I don't want rain falling in the summertime. Could it happen? Maybe. Of course, God has the power to do whatever he wants. Does he make it happen? Oh, my goodness, very rarely. I don't remember seeing any rain during the summer months when I was living in Israel. I just don't remember that. It was hot every single day, just about. I think people in Israel, they're fascinated. They come to America, and they see rainstorms in the summertime. Like, how could that happen? Well, it's a different country, 6,000 miles away or whatever we are, 10,000 miles away. It's a whole different world over here. So at all events, his argument is, Bishlama XYZ, and always that sing song, it's okay regarding ABC. Ella, but, however, regarding XYZ, that's something else. So, that's how it's structured. That's how a Bishlama is structured. Ella Gishamim, but with regard to rain, can it be said that whenever it falls, that's the appropriate time? When the resurrection happens, that's the appropriate time. But regarding rain, you can't say the same thing about that. If rain falls in the summertime, not a good thing. How do I know? Well, it's not, because we learned in a Mishnah. Where's that Mishnah? It's going to be over here in Tainus on page 12b. Okay, on page 12b. Let me just see. Still in here in chapter 1 of Tainus. You're going to see later on in the Mishnah, Yatsa Nisan v'yardu gishamim. If Nisan has gone out, right? Yatsa Nisan. Nisan went out, meaning Nisan, the month of Passover. The month is concluded. Nisan is done. We did how many days of Nisan, and now we go into the next month of Iyar, right? Okay? So Nisan is concluded. V'yardu geshamim, and shockingly, the rain has come down. What? If rain fell after Nisan is concluded, siman klolahem. That's a sign of a curse. We don't want any rain in the summer months. You want just sunshine in the summer months. How do I know, though, that it borders on a siman klola, that it's like a sign of a curse? How do I know that? From Scripture. Hello. So the Jewish people went over to Samuel the prophet and said, we'd like a king. He says, you'd like a what? They said, we'd like a king. He says, a king. A king? They said, yeah, a king. But part of the word melech, don't you understand nicely? It was said, we'd like a king. He says, you already have a king. They said, we already have a king. Who's our king? He says, God. God's your king. How many kings do you need? You already have the one and only king. What more do you want? He says, yeah, well, you know, we'd like a human king. You know, somebody to lead us in battle. A representative on the throne. So we should look at a king and see, oh, that's a king. Samuel's going, I don't believe what I'm hearing. You want to be like all the other nations? That's the idea? All the nations have a king. You also want to have a king. Having the God Almighty, creative heaven, that's not good enough as a king. What could be better than God? Well, you know, we want a human being. I mean, Shmuel was just so upset. They made an improper request, we read over here, to have a king appointed over them. And they ignored his rebuke. Like, what are you talking about? Why should you be like any other nation? So then you know what he prayed for? Shmuel the prophet prayed for rain in the summertime when you're not supposed to get any rain. He said, I'll show you. I'm going to pray to God there should be rain in the summer season when we don't want any rain. I'll ask God to send it to show you how wrong you guys are. Here's what Shmuel said. Halok tiachitim hayom. Is it not the time of the harvesting of the wheat? And it continues, I will call to Hashem, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may know and see that your wickedness is great. You have no right asking for a human king to be like any other nation in the world if you already have God sitting on his throne in heaven. He's your king. He gave you the Torah. You got your marching orders. You got any questions, you come to me. I'll tell you what to do. Now move on. Oh, no, I want a king anyway. Are you joking? So he said, I'm going to call to Hashem, and he will send rain. So you should know that your wickedness is great. And it was clearly, during the rainy season, that would never be, a showing of wickedness, that we're wrong. That's exactly when we want rain to fall. I want rain to fall in November, December, our, to give it to you, in our months, our wintertime, January. You go to Israel, it rains, it snows during that time. It's good. We want it to rain and snow during the rainy season because that water then goes right into the earth and it enriches the crops, nourishes the roots, and everything grows. Of course I want rain during then. So when would Shmuel be speaking to show them that they're wrong for having asked this? He says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask God to do something abnormal, out of the ordinary, sending you rain in the summer season. That's crazy talk, but that's what I'm going to do to show you how wrong you were in asking for a human flesh and blood king. So it could only be that he was talking during the summer season. It's then that the rain coming is a bad thing. He says, I'm going to pray for that. That God should send it right now to show you that you're wrong and punish you. Because the last thing you want is rain during the months of June, July, and August in Israel. Sure, it gets hot, but that's what they want because that enables the growth. No more rain needed. We already had 6 months of rain, thank God, from Sukkot to Pesach. Now we just want sunshine. And God usually gives that in a large measure. Said Samuel, I'll show you. I'm going to ask for abnormal rain in the summertime to show you your wickedness. So you see that when it comes to rain, Rabbi Yeshua would answer, it's not the case
that every single day it should fall. No, there are 6 months when I love it falling and 6 months when I don't want it to fall. So I shouldn't be saying it during the 6 months when I don't want it to fall, as opposed to resurrection prayers. Well, that's appropriate any day. I'm hoping that every day will be resurrection day, as opposed to the sunshine, you know, rain. I don't want it to rain right now in Israel. I want the sun to blaze in Israel right now. And I want to be indoors in a cool, you know, in a cool room somewhere. But I want the sun to fall upon the crops so they could grow. So that's the difference. Rabbi Yehoshua would answer, Rabbi Eliezer, you make a good point about the resurrection prayer. Fair enough. But even you've got to admit, the resurrection prayer is appropriate every single day because it can happen any single day. We could be thrust right into the Geula and boom, resurrection. And so we pray for it. It's fine. Every day we pray for it. It should happen that day. But in the summertime, who in his right mind wants to be, you know, even declaring a fact that God makes it rain? I don't want to even like intimate that because I don't want any rain during the winter months. And that is his answer. They're two different things. Praying for resurrection, perfectly appropriate every single day because it could happen any single day. Rain, no. 6 months, I don't want any rain. Therefore, I'm not going to even mention that God's got the power to bring the rain. All right, friends. Very good. So we've gotten down over here to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. He's going to now going to explore why he says, we'll do this, God willing, on Friday. Why is it that he says that we should start saying the prayer, you make the wind blow? Why on day two of Sukkot do we begin saying that prayer? Well, God willing, we'll see that on Friday. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. We did another chunk of the Talmud, got down a little bit, and I'm looking forward to potentially, maybe even theoretically, going over to 3A on Friday. It's certainly a possibility. So wishing everybody a great day. Thank you so much for joining me. God's help, we'll see everybody on Friday at 10:30 again. Thank you for coming out. Hope you enjoyed. Hope it was good. And God willing, we'll see you. Thank you. All the best. See you Friday, 10:30 again. Have a great day today and tomorrow. All the best.